Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. My name's Tony.
I'm Kylie.
Hi, Kylie.
Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
I just wanted to stop by and see, I saw a prayer and I'm all about that.
Yeah?
What
are your spiritual beliefs, Kylie?
So I believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
God of the Bible.
Okay.
Jesus died on the cross for our sins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through which we're able to have a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And it's not, obviously we should try to live, you know, as holy as he is holy to, you know,
sure,
our human ability, but
right, but not to earn his love,
exactly,
but because we're thankful for the love he's given us through Christ.
And that Jesus made that possible.
Amen.
So,
amen. Where do you worship?
Word of Life in Rock Island.
Word of Life. I've heard of the church.
Pastor Tanner, Peyton.
Yeah, I've only been out here for a few years. I'm
okay.
More familiar with this side of the river. We're from Grace Fellowship Church, Matt and I. Yeah.
Very cool. And where is in Davenport?
Yeah. Are you familiar with the side of the river? Do you know where the Walmart is off of West Kimberly?
Yeah, I do.
We're about a half mile west on Kimberly from there.
Gotcha.
Yeah. We're a small Reformed Baptist church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
cool.
And so Matt and I are full-time evangelists for the church, so we spend our time out on the streets in various ways trying to bring the gospel to people.
Very cool. Well, I just live down the road there.
Oh, okay.
And I came to work over there, and I saw you guys, and I was like, hold up, I can always use prayer, too, and right now the world needs prayer, so...
Yeah. How did you come to faith in Christ, Kylie?
Let's see. It was my sophomore year in high school.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really raised Christian. My mom was a single mom with two kids. So
okay.
Anytime we had to rest, you know. Well, anytime my mom had to rest, she did. So Sundays was kind of out of the question,
sure,
you know. And,
Hi.
And so... but I had a babysitter that would take me to church and to small groups. And at the time, when I was in fifth grade, like, I hated all of that because it was scary.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is really creepy. And then, like, later on, a friend invited me to a little retreat at Faith Baptist College in Ankeny.
Oh, okay.
And so I went out there, and she said she gave her life to Christ. And I said, oh, well, yeah, I'm a good person. I want to do that, too. I don't cuss or drink, and so I'll just be Christian. And I kind of gave my life to Christ under that foundation of, like, I'm a good person, and I'll try to be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started understanding, God was revealing to me, like, it's not just about that, you know, like, it's more about this, about Jesus. And I was like, oh, okay, like, this is, like, my whole life, man, all right, but I want that. And so probably in 2016, I rededicated my life to Christ under the right foundation, or more right foundation. I was going to Coram Deo from to like 6 years I was there,
uh-huh,
and then kind of grew out of it. It's not really my demographic, and it's great, but it's just not for me. And so went to Edgewood Baptist for a while.
Familiar with it, yeah. Yeah.
For 2 years, and now I'm at Word of Life as of like 3 months ago.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
So... how do you go about sharing your faith with people?
Oh, that is always a topic that I need to... I ask the Lord a lot to give me the boldness to do that. As far as sharing, I really look for the, like, one-on-one opportunities.
Yeah,
so,
kind of like this.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if I would be bold enough to be out on the corner. I would, of course, you know, if I had and my friends are Christian, so if we were like out here as a group, I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, sometimes like the stranger, it's really difficult.
Yeah.
If I have a coworker or you know, someone I see on a regular basis, mm-hmm, I've got no problem opening up and talking to them and you know what Jesus has done for me. And...
Well, let me encourage you with something. It's actually harder to share the gospel with people you're in relationship with than people you're not. Now, I'm not at all suggesting that we shouldn't be in relationship with people, and I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't share the gospel with them. Of course, we should share the gospel with whoever we can, whenever we can, however we can. So long as we're proclaiming the right gospel, there are many different ways to go about that. It could be, you know, over a cup of coffee at Starbucks. It could be through a term paper in your classroom. It could be over your dining room table with a family member. It could be on a street corner. You know, God has given each of us our own personalities and the context of life in which we live. And so we ought to communicate the gospel according to who God has made us and where he's put us.
Yeah.
And so that may look different to different people. But, you know, there for many, many years in the Christian church, there's been this teaching, maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't, that we actually have to establish relationships with people in order, in a sense, to earn the right to communicate the gospel with them. The gospel doesn't communicate that at all. In fact, we don't even see any examples of that.
No.
You know, we're commanded by, in Scripture, we're commanded by the Lord to go out and make disciples of every nation, to go and proclaim the gospel to every creature. And so that would include people we know and people we don't know. The thing about this idea of what is often referred to as friendship evangelism is that Christians genuinely, sincerely, will go out and try to establish relationships with people. They'll spend a lot of time doing that, probably in their mind with the hope of maybe inviting them to church at some point, or maybe getting up the courage to communicate the gospel with them at some point. But what invariably happens is Christians won't communicate the gospel to their friends, most, not all, but won't communicate the gospel to their friends because of what it might cost them to do so. And so by taking all this time and energy to establish a friendship first, well, now they won't communicate the gospel because they're more concerned with the friendship than the soul of the friend. And they don't want to lose the friendship trying to win the soul of the friend.
Right.
And so they actually make the friendship, they actually make the friendship more important than the friend.
Mm-hmm.
Not intentionally. I don't think Christians are out there, well, I think I'm going to establish a friendship so I'll never share the gospel. I don't think that's their intent at all, but that's invariably what happens. But if we build the relationship, whether it's like this in a moment on a street corner or over time, if we start the friendship on the foundation of the gospel and not on the foundation of our personality, then we're likely to communicate the gospel to them. So, for instance, a neighbor moves next door to me, right? Instead of taking them a plate of cookies and then maybe inviting them over to a barbecue and taking that kind of time to establish a relationship and then maybe eventually invite them to church, leaving them thinking, maybe, oh, is this why we're friends? So that you can invite me to church? Instead, take them the plate of cookies. Hi, my name is Tony. I live next door. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I worship at Grace Fellowship Church. Can I take a couple of minutes to share with you what I believe? No! Enjoy the cookies. Right?
Yeah.
Right? And continue to love them as your neighbor.
Yeah.
Or, instead of saying, no, I don't want to hear that, yeah, tell me what you believe. Mm-hmm. And now you've established the relationship on the foundation of the gospel,
yeah,
or at least an effort to communicate the gospel, instead of the strength of our personality.
Right.
Because Christ doesn't need our help to save anybody, but yet he's a God of means who uses his people to reach them with the gospel. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
How can I pray for you today, Kylie?
Oh, well, since we got on the topic, I would love prayer for boldness in this time. And I am on the leadership team for a young adults group that meets at the Prayer Center or Passion Church now in the mall.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah.
And we're not affiliated with a church, so we have about 8 or 9 different churches represented.
Uh-huh.
But we're just a group of young adults that really want to spur each other on to live how, you know, the Bible calls us to live and pray for each other. So during this time, being a leader for that, just wisdom and focus to know what kind of things we can be doing creatively to like strengthen our little like family, as well as what we can do to outreach.
Uh-huh.
So just wisdom and focus for that group. And
great.
Yeah.
Can we pray right now?
Yeah, definitely.
Father in heaven, you are great and greatly to be praised. You are worthy of all praise and honor and glory. Father, we are thankful this day for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the second person of the one and only triune God, who humbled himself to take on human flesh and then further humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. And Father, you have made a way and only one way for sinners to be reconciled to you And that is through your grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, who died a death he did not deserve on a Roman cross, who was buried, and then 3 days later forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. And Father, as you have commanded Kylie and I, you have commanded all people everywhere to repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, I thank you that it's in your providence that Kylie would stop today. Thank you for the encouragement I've received, Father, in meeting her, and I pray that she is likewise encouraged. I pray, Father, that in all things and in all ways, she would cling to Christ, that she would find all of her hope, her peace, her rest, her joy in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, that you, Father, would guide her steps, that you would give her wisdom and discernment, Father, as to how she would live her life, Father, how she would minister to others, how she could bring you the most honor and praise and glory. Father, I pray that you would give her boldness, Father, to do that which you have called every believer to do, and that is to communicate the gospel to the lost, that she would have no fear of man, that she would have no love of self, but out of love for you with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength, and out of a genuine love for her neighbor, that she would seek to communicate the gospel to those who are perishing without Christ. We know the way is narrow that leads to life, and few will find it. We know that the gospel, the word of God, the word of Christ, is foolishness to those who are perishing. We know that it is an aroma of death unto death to those who are perishing, but it is a beautiful aroma of life unto life to those who are being saved. We know, Father, that you are a God of means, and that in your divine providence you have chosen to use your people to communicate the truth of the gospel to the lost. And may you use Kylie, Father, for your glory as a conduit of that message, the message that salvation is by your grace through faith in Christ. Father, may she count her life as nothing, but serving you as everything. May she love others, saved and unsaved, more than she loves herself. And Father, may you continue to shepherd me and to mold me to do likewise, Father. Lord, again, I thank you for this opportunity to spend a few minutes here on the corner on a cold day with Kylie. I thank you, Father, for the edification you've given both of us during this time. And it's always good, Father, to meet a sister in Christ. And for that, I am thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'll be praying for you guys
thank
out
you.
Here today.
Thank you. Great.
Thank you so much.
All right, Kylie. You have a great day. All right, take care.